Okay, we're talking about how much, if you self-publish, okay, if you publish traditionally, you will expect to pay a whole lot of blood, sweat, and tears. You're going to be marketing, and it's going to be a lot of work. And it's very gratifying, though. And you will, you know, when you traditionally publish, usually, they will pay quarterly. And so that means, no, our next royalties are April 31st, which will cover like December and January and February-ish. So the book distributors pay quarterly, so the author gets paid quarterly. So you'll get checks four times a year. If you self-publish, you will likely get paid monthly. Oh, we didn't talk about going wide. The reason I mentioned that, if you're going to go wide, you have a couple options to make it easy. You can go to Nook. Everyone knows Nook. That's Barnes & Noble. There's a Canadian bookstore called Kobo. They are worldwide. You want to get into them.
How do you spell it?
K-O-B-O. And, of course, iTunes. And then there's a bunch of other small ones. You can do all of that, or you can just go to a place called Draft 2 Digital. Draft, the number 2, Digital. They're called an aggregator. Another aggregator is Smashwords, but I like Draft 2 Digital better. The reason I like Draft 2 Digital better is because I actually know them. They're incredible men. I just need to get a woman working for them, now that I think about it. Incredible group of people. Dan Wood. Dan is, he goes to all the writers' conferences. They're very active in the independent author community, and they're very responsive. You can use Smashwords. They've been there forever. They're wonderful, too. But they have this thing called the meat grinder. And you put your file in there, and the 3 days later, the meat grinder will tell you, you have an extra period on page 2. Mm-hmm. We reject you. Mm-hmm. So they have to take that extra period out, and then you have to go through the meat grinder again. Whereas a draft of digital, you just broop, and like 2 minutes later, they'll say, here's your file, how's it look to you? And you look at it, blah, 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 and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. They're fabulous. Draft of digital will send your book to Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Nook, all those things that we talked about. And the reason that you, an aggregator, they will take 10%. So if you get 70%, they'll even get your book into Amazon if you don't want to work direct with them on it, which I don't know why you wouldn't, because they're pretty easy. But you have to put in your description, and it's all the same information that you put in for Amazon. And then they'll take care of all the sales, and they'll pay you either into your checkbook or into your PayPal account. So, yeah. And Smashwords is the same. Wonderful, wonderful companies, both of them. I actually use them both. I put my books into Draft to Digital first, and then Smashwords has a couple stores that they don't have, so then I put it into Smashwords, and I don't have to pull my hair out quite so bad when they tell me, you didn't make the best meat grinder. But if you, here it is. If you, use vellum to format your book, it just right through the meat grinder like hot butter toast. Vellum is a huge time saver. It can take a long time too. Or you can go to Fiverr and find a book formatter. Find someone with a good rating, and I honestly don't know how much that would be. I've heard anywhere between $15 and $35. So, okay, and how much, okay, that segues into how much all this should cost. I mean, this book cover was $149, and she did a fantastic job. I took part in a anthology, where's that one? I hate this cover. And I couldn't use my regular book cover. One right over there. I see if they're over there. There it is. Okay. I took part of an anthology, and we had to use their book cover designer, and that's what she came up with. and it just didn't have the Zaza Zoo. So when it expired, I had my book cover redo it, and I like that better. So even though the lady has slightly large lips, but that's beside the point. I'm apparently picky. So this lady that I didn't like, she was $60. And then, you know, $149 is worth it. Nonfiction is much easier. Where is my... This was a book cover. This is my most recent nonfiction. Something very simple. I actually made this one myself on a website called Canva, C-A-N-V-A. And I thought it did just a beautiful... I thought I did a beautiful job. And that was free. So how much will it cost? It runs the gamut. If you have just even a modicum of design in your blood, Canva, super, super easy. I often read people say, do not do your own book cover designs. And I say, don't do your book cover designs if you don't know what you're doing. But if you have a pretty decent idea of what you like, when I was working on this one, I looked at all of the books that my book was similar to, and then I just wanted to get this a similar vibe. That's what you're shooting for. It's pretty, yeah. Plus, you have to understand too, is that most of the time, your books aren't gonna be in a bookstore. And so you have to find something quite simple that will look good when it's that big. Mm-hmm. I've seen writers just put tremendous time and effort into some of their book covers. You can go a little fancier on fiction. Nonfiction, always err on the side of simplicity. And, yeah. So, how much are you going to pay? It's going to definitely be under 500 for sure. Possibly under 300 if you make your own covers and do your own formatting. You could actually, if you do, like, you already have everything ready to go, you're not going to cost anything monetarily. You'll have it all set to go, and you can just upload it to, your question was good. Why don't you ask your question so I can, about whether Amazon was a scam or not, the Amazon whatever.
Well, yeah, I was, part of the reason why I took the class was just looking at, because there's a lot of legalese and stuff that you have to read, and I wanted to know who gets 35%, who gets 70%, you know, how do I get the rights to my book? What is all this stuff, and who's a scam? Because the part of your class was to know what's not a scam, and I kind of wanted somebody to tell me. And so, but I had gotten, you know, to Kindle, and because I have all my stuff, you know, you can download and you can keep your rights and stuff. I didn't go. I haven't gone very far into it, but. Because making it easy to use can be deceptive. You need to read. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? There's stuff they're leaving out. Like, we all click, yeah, I agree. I want your thing. You know what I mean? Did you read it? No. Like, when I, you know, no, I did not. Maybe there is something in there that I should have known that I didn't know. But I just wanted to know how to know a scam. And
correct me if I'm wrong. But generally speaking, if you're dealing directly with Amazon, it's not going to be a scam. They have things, they want you to get your book into print. They have downloadable templates. They have, they're nice templates. They even have tools that will help you make your cover, all of it. And when you run into trouble is when you are dealing with middle people like what we call the pay-to-play people who... will charge you $15,000. The people on the radio who want you to come in because you're going to give them a whole lot of money. The more reputable companies don't advertise. There's plenty, you know, there's plenty to go around. Go to the writer's market, writersmarket.com to find publishers who publish what you want published. Or if you self-publish, you can go to K-Boards. That's a really good resource for asking questions about working with Kindle in particular.
What was that?
K-Boards. K-B-O-A-R-D-S. It's just a huge discussion board, but there's a lot of good information in there. Some crud, but otherwise pretty good.
That's what I did, was read up on some of them, and The harder part for me is it's picture. It's not just words. So some of the format, you know, it's not for. I needed something specific for children's books because I have pictures, and then you have to do pop-ups so that you can make your print bigger on the screen when you're reading, right. and different things like that that I've had haven't navigated that well yet.
Okay, we were going to talk about inexpensive places to get beautiful cover design. Talked about Canva, which is free, and then I also mentioned Fiverr, which is
cheap.
Yeah. Biggest thing you have to watch out for is to make sure that you have permission to use those stock images. You know, you don't ever want to steal anyone else's work, even inadvertently. Make sure that the designer has gotten proper permission to use that stock image.
I really bet you in the butt if you do not.
It can. How to get help when you need it. Like I mentioned, K-boards. That's a good place to go. A thing that I have been trying to put together in the Wilmer area, which has failed miserably so far, is just, I am at Caribou Coffee almost every Thursday, and I have been thinking it'd be fun to get together as just once a month, just get together and talk, shop, period. That's it. That's all I have been shooting for. First time I wound up with a whole bunch of underage musicians. That was just weird.
It's just a different kind of book club. Instead of reading books, it's writing books.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to have a little sign-up list for that. If you are, anyone is interested, I can just email everyone. Pick a Thursday, a particular Thursday of the month, where we can just come in, have a place to ask questions. Why don't we have this in Wilmer? Seriously. I'm a member of a writing group in town, and they're all like retired, just want to, I don't know what their point is. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
They don't have to have a schedule anymore. It would be kind of hard to, if you're not retired, to be part of that group. Probably.
Yeah, that's, I'm not true. Retired, and I don't think I ever will, because I really love doing this, and my point is I've heard you to say it, and I've heard a few of you say, you want your words out there. That's my point. If I'm going to write, and I love writing, I want to find a readership of like-minded people, and even unlike-minded people, so we can have a conversation, if nothing else, you know? And that's my goal in it, so I'm going to have a sign-up list for that. And that way, if you decide, you know, I'm going to go for it, I'm going to publish this book, and you get stuck, then, that next Thursday, we're going to meet for coffee. They can have a good table there. Not this big, but... how to properly format a beautiful book. We talked about vellum. If you don't have a Mac, and you don't want a Mac, and you are looking for an alternative, there is a free book on Amazon called The Smashwords Style Guide. It's put out by Smashwords. And step-by-step instructions. Very easy. Smashwords Style Guide. That's what I used before I had vellum. And it took me, I don't know, maybe a day or so to strip out all of the, you have to strip everything out of that document and put it into like notepad. Mm-hmm. Take everything out of it, put it into your document, and then use header and then default revise and header, as opposed to just hitting tab for your, yeah. It's all done kind of crazy. I didn't like it. I love that one. Want it pretty or prettier, please?
And Smashwords is the Windows program?
Smashwords is not a program. It's an ebook that will explain exactly how to format.
Is there a Windows program similar to vellum?
No.
Not that you know.
Oh, everyone is just so sad that vellum is not for Windows.
Kindle.
Yeah.
Kindle has free stuff you can download on, because I have Windows that were my only computer. That you can, I mean, I haven't gone very far into it. You just download it, and then you.
The biggest thing is that what they're looking for is a clean manuscript without a whole bunch of tabs. And somehow sometimes someone will use tab once, and then sometimes they'll hit space like four or five times. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for consistency, just a very consistent document. It's very simple and consistent. It would be the way I would describe it. That's the Smashwords style guide in a nutshell.
Perfect.
And the reason they want to have headings for like chapter one and stuff is so that it'll automatically create your table of contents. If everything is default, and you have default, but I've highlighted and made it 14 point and centered, it sometimes the software doesn't catch it. Mm-hmm. So you want to have, make sure you use,
I always use the styles.
Styles, that's the word. Dude. Awesome. Did that help at all?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Fabulous. You know the difference between ebooks and paperback? And you need both. Children's books, I'm not sure how that works. I think they do ebooks as well. Because, like I said, I have not done much with children's books.
You mean on Amazon?
Amazon, yeah. Generally speaking, the customer who reads ebooks is different than a customer who would read a paperback. We sell both. For many years, it was, paperbacks would outsell ebooks by a pretty wide margin. But once you start getting into more of the genre fiction, which is what these are, and mysteries and such, you get some voracious readers who just aren't going to buy paperback. They're just going to be ebooks, and you'll miss out on those sales. So you want to do them both if you can. And it's the same process for both, basically. Okay. We talked about what to do if your writing isn't in a digital format. You can get it scanned. Find a nerd. They rule the world. They do. Okay, and the least expensive, easiest, often the best. Pretend you have a book for 99 cents. That means you're going to make about 35 cents for everyone that's sold, right?
Mm-hmm.
And say that the reason you want to keep your costs as low as possible is because that person who just spent $15,000 on getting their book published and they sold 100 ebooks at 35 cents, that's how much. It's gonna take a long time to get that 15 grand back. Mm-hmm. And it takes a while to grow that momentum. Why not start making your profit earlier rather than later? There's just no reason to not just go for it. Okay. The simple technique to spot scans. Make sure we cover that. What did I tell you to tattoo on your forehead?
Money comes to you.
Never away from you.
You don't write checks. The publisher writes checks to you. Always. Even, for example, now if you're marketing your book and, someone says, hey, you can run an ad on my website for X number of dollars, Google them, double check, go to K-boards and see what other people have said about them. I have discovered that my best lists, my best customers have come to me organically. You can't purchase readers. It's slower, but it's a lot more powerful. I have people on my writing etc. list that have been with me since 2001. I am now getting emails from their next of kin telling me how much they enjoyed them. Those are the people who you want to have. You don't want to look at your readers as anything but very important people in your life. Every one of them. They're giving you time, and you're giving them something. Time is not a replenishable resource. And so you need to treat your people very well. If they've actually cared enough to give you their email address for you to send the e-zine, I think one of the worst marketing things I've ever seen is people who build their zine and all they do is say, I've got a new book out. Here's my new book. Oh, look, here's a book. I got a book. I, you know, you, it's, you have to build a relationship. You have to build trust. You have to, they've given you their email address. You give them good information or good entertainment in return. So you Google, for example, I had a, well, even like that run to the USA Today bestselling, I didn't even know that existed. And so I was doing some Googling and realizing, wow, you know, everyone who's done that, they get the label, but does it help them? In the long run, is it worth $500 and a whole lot of time writing an entire book just for them, and then engaging in dubious marketing techniques that may or may not get me the kind of readers that I want? So you have to use your noggin a little bit and be real careful about pulling your credit card out.
How do new readers find you?
Actually, I really, like I said, most of them come organically. Organically means they just find me.
Okay.
They find me through Amazon. They find a book that they like. All of my books at the very beginnings say, hey, I have got a starter library of all these books that you can have for free if you join my list and want to become a VIP reader. And so they come over to my website and they become a VIP reader. And I have this thing, I work with a company called MailerLite, MailerLite. What MailerLite lets me do is that I can send these people little messages. I think those messages go out like once a week. Here's your first free download. Here's your next free download. Hope you're having, and I get to tell them the story behind the story. Why I wrote it, how I wrote it, how I researched it, and sometimes I'll do character sketches and tell them, you know, just get to know my characters and stuff. Another way is through like being on podcasts. Do anyone know what a podcast is? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've been guests on podcasts, mm-hmm. and that will get me readers who are like, wow, I think I might like to be on her list. Another way I do it is for the nonfiction is I will find e-zines that are similar to mine, and I will submit an article to them asking them, saying, hey, if you want to use this article for free, just make sure you have my byline in there. Anyone know what a byline is?
The author.
Yep. And here's the deal, though. Here's the trick with bylines. Nobody wants to, you know, Ben Ferrickson is a writer from Minnesota. Nobody cares about that, because let's be honest, people don't care online. My byline is, make your writing sparkle, market smart, repeat. Join, get my e-zine, right, etc., and the book Power Queries free when you subscribe here. It's all about your reader. You always write about your reader, not yourself. Which is tougher with fiction. So instead of saying, join my list, I'll say, you know, you get a free starter library. Mm-hmm. This many hours of fun reading. And you get in on, you know, contests and stuff like that. So always think benefits, 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 benefits. That's where copywriting comes in. That's what you learn when you learn how to market. It's never about you. It's always about your reader. It's always about what you can give them as opposed to what they will give you. That you can't focus on. You have to focus on providing really great information or really great entertainment time or just something poignant. Make them cry, make them laugh, you know, all that kind of stuff. That's what's important. Okay.
Are your books protected? So in any way, so I can't use that same title on my book?
That's an interesting story. Get ready for some snark. Oh, see, Maury knows it's coming. We had a book. And it was similar in title to another book. It was not the same. I want to reiterate, it was not the same at all. And the book cover design was totally different, but it was similar. We got a cease and desist from HarperCollins. HarperCollins sent me, little old me, a cease and desist. we had to change our title or they were going to be It was such a bummer. And so I like cooperated and they got all ugly. And we actually had to get an attorney. They were like...
But didn't you have yours first?
Or did their, their book was 10 years old. They had it first, but it was 10 years old. But they, you cannot copyright a title. You cannot copyright a title. They were claiming common law trademark. And so when we, lovely Mr. Kleinhusen, I don't know where I'm at, but I'm pointing at him. Over at Kleinhusen, Newton-da. And he was like, well, you're in the right, but you really want to fight HarperCollins. I was like, just make it stop. Because we changed the title, and they want this, and we did that. Then they want, I mean, it's like, So anyway, you just never know. You can't copyright a title, but I'm not going to say you won't get in a little bit of trouble. I don't know. There are so many titles. I mean, how do you... How do you do it? Here, let's talk about pirating for a minute, shall we? Pirating is a huge problem, correct? People who will take your ebook file and put it on a pirate site and download it for free and blah, 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 blah. You can spend your life fighting these people, and I don't. Do you want to know why? In the back of every one of my books, I've got a big old advertisement for all my other books. And if they like the book, they might come sign up and become a legit customer. If they don't, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. People are going to steal your work. It's just the way it is. I could spend, I can have a full-time job writing, or I can have a full-time job fighting pirates. I decide that I'm just going to remain sane that someone is so poor that they have to steal my 99-cent book. I have one 99-cent book, but see, I bitterly despise that, so I whine about it all the time. My 99-cent book. It's a loss leader, it's called. You have to get people... Yep. 35 cents, earning 35 cents is better than earning nothing because some people just won't take a chance on a new author. So you have to you have to keep some of your prices like super low, and it's like annoying, and I'll get over it. But once you release your baby, you've released your baby, and people are going to steal it, people are going to hate it, people are going to love it. You're going to be brilliant one day and a walking idiot the next.
Can I leave the doors open or you guys should lock it?
We'll be here till noon.
Okay.
Thanks. So, last but not least, people say to write in your genre and stick in your genre.
Is it okay to lock the doors then?
Everybody's here?
Everybody's in here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. We'll lock them up then.
Yep, we're living here now.
They have a pop machine, we're good.
We're good. And turlets where you touch with your foot. Yeah. I can't get over that.
They don't look new either. They've had them a while. They're not like a new thing in there.
She's verified the foot deal.
It's pretty cool.
They have them in the men's room too.
Marnie will want one.
Why don't they have
not
those?
Not touching the toilet would be great for her.
Wouldn't it though? Oh, so yeah. Have fun with your writing. I do fiction, nonfiction, and then every now and then I just get a burr up my butt and I went out with a cookbook. So you just have fun. And that little, this little guy got the endorsement of good housekeeping 1 month, and oh boy, we just out of the blue, it sold. So I mean, if you get a yen, one thing though, if you'll notice, I do keep my fiction and nonfiction separate by... I'm B.A. Erickson over here, and there Beth Ann Erickson. So it is good to keep your fiction and nonfiction separate with that kind of pen. When you are in Amazon, you get an Amazon Central author page, and it's nice to be able to keep those so your fiction readers can look at. They're different than nonfiction. Nonfiction will read fiction, but fiction readers don't often run over to non as often. I have discovered.
Do you have any opinion on, is it important to have a pen name that's different from your actual name? Or
it's up to you. Totally up to you. Like I said, I went by my own name for all of it for quite a while, and then, you know, like I said, everything has changed since 2001, and it has been very beneficial to me. However, when I am emailing my fiction readers, I just call myself Beth. Because I forget my name otherwise. I mean, hello, I'm BA. You know, really? It just felt weird. But, and it, you know, one thing I do like, however, with a pen name is you can just kind of have a little more fun sometimes. Mm-hmm. I have another project that I've got a totally different name just because it's kind of controversial, and I thought, I feel like stirring the pot. Mm-hmm. So I stirred the pot over there, and you just never know. Any questions? We're getting ready to wind up soon.
Do you ever publish hardcover books?
You can publish hardcover books. In fact, since you're a numbers dude.
I'm not a numbers dude. I
you
just
can, you
lucked
can
out on that one.
I thought this would be fun. I just brought this to show some of the prices, the wholesale prices for hardcovers, full cover, full color, premium. What did we figure? If we had a 100-page book that was premium full color, you did the bad math last night. Was it like a $23 wholesale price? Color is super expensive. Mm. But we did premium everything just to play. Mm. But kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm. If you're doing research on a book, and say for example, if you're writing something and you need information from someone in law enforcement, that's going to help you out with this. Mm-hmm. Should you have an agreement ahead of the time with them? Are they going to expect to get paid, or how does that work?
It depends upon the way you present it. I've actually talked to cops before, and they're just so giddy to chit-chat. Usually they'll do it for a cup of coffee. Seriously. I didn't go that far. I care about them, you know. Mm-hmm. I have, on occasion, my Reclaimed Haven series, I actually got a temporary part-time job to really get the nitty-gritty feel for a particular company. Mm. And I wanted to talk to the my coworkers and stuff to kind of get into the head a little bit. So yeah, research. You have to research and you have to really get in there. And if you're going to write authentically in a way that people go, oh, she knows what she's talking about, instead of, you know, you don't ever want the head wag. And they can tell if you're one of them or not, or if you're just blowing steam. Readers are very smart, and they know their life. So, yeah, I've gotten a few part-time temporaries, haven't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can vouch. I whine the whole time. High fever! That's so hard!
You were a DJ once.
Yeah, I worked as a DJ for a while. I wanted the ins and outs of radio stations and how they worked and how else you could, I mean, you can interview someone forever and you're not going to get the real deal until you're actually swimming in that ocean. And describing what you feel like in the morning going in there, you know. Yeah. Yeah, you got to research. I am convinced that Homeland Security is going to nab me for my internet browsing history. Seriously.
I'm sure, especially with Mystery and Mercy.
Yeah.
What's she trying to find out?
I discovered Ask the Mortician. I love her on YouTube. I'm like...
That's awesome. I would never think about
Caitlin that. Caitlin and I are soul sisters, you know? What happens to Buddy after he's cremated? I'm like, You know? What are your options? Oh, yeah.
Start being friends with the body farm, you're going to be in trouble.
I'm not sure I can do that.
Who actually prints your book?
That company that you just... you have three choices. I'm glad you asked that, because we didn't cover that. If you self-publish, you have three choices, basically, that matter. Three choices that matter. We mentioned CreateSpace. Mm-hmm. I told you there because you brought it up. Lightning Source, which is owned by Ingram, and then part of Ingram, which is called Ingram Spark. I did math, and I wrote it down here so I could share it with you. If I can find it. Math. Numbers. I gotta find my numbers. Here we are. Okay. Oh, by the way, if you get an agent, they get 15%. This is an FYI. So if you get a 10% royalty and you sold 100 books for 10 bucks, that's... Yeah. Well, they get 15% of that, that number, whatever it is. That's why I break this down. Ingram or Lightning Source, they're the people we use. It's $70 basically to set it up, to put a book into their system, $12 a year to keep it in their catalog. Create Space, no setup fees, totally free. You just have to upload it all. So why on earth would I ever want to stick with Lightning Source? That is because on a $10 book, and if the book sells on Amazon, I get $3.84. And if they sell it elsewhere, like at the local Barnes & Noble, I would get $1.84. At Lightning Source, even though they have that setup fee, I get to decide what kind of discount I'm going to provide bookstores. Which means, on that same exact 100-page book, I would get $5.37 instead of $3.84 or $1.84. So even though I'm paying money on the off, you know, at the beginning, I make it back by having a wider profit per unit, which is why Amazon and Ingram are always fighting.
Because there's the risk that they've been on their shelves for quite a while and they might want to mark it down, put it on sale.
Generally speaking, Amazon does not stock all that many books. They only stock like 3 to 5 of them, if that. What Lightning Source does is, what they do is, if someone buys your book on Amazon, Amazon shoots an electronic pulse or something to Ingram. Ingram prints the book that day and ships it. And so,
really?
So there is absolutely no stocking, really.
Is that what you call print on demand? Then?
Print on demand, exactly. Okay. The per unit price is higher than if you printed 500,000 copies in China, but then you're not storing anything. It's all done electronically. Don't have to touch a thing. I don't have to even know when someone buys one of my books. I like to know. I have always, in every book I have, I put in there a way to contact me. Find me at, you know, philbertpublishing.com, or find me at baericksonbooks.com. I want them at my website. I want them on my email list. I want to chat with them so they could love me. I'm needy, apparently. And you want them to love you. Which brings me to my last story about the importance of being who you are. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors online, and people are going to steal your ideas. It's just going to happen. People are going to steal your book. You're going to find pirates going after it. It's just going to happen all the time. But there's only one thing nobody can steal, and that is who you are. And if you are your authentic self online, nobody will ever steal that. And so when you're, everything you do online is going to be a reflection of who you are and who your what kind of people you're going to have in your tribe, so to speak. As an example, I'm going to tell a fast story about an author who did this really well. His name was Santonio. This is all evolved in the last 2 days. Santonio was a very successful romance author, and he wrote gay romance. And he had this incredible tribe who was just so into him. I mean, he could do no wrong. He would sell a few thousand copies of his book before it was even out. I mean, his pre-orders were incredible. And then the whispering started, and it turned out that Santonio was actually a woman. And people were like, what? And that particular audience, you have to know your audience, know who your readers are. And that particular audience is really passionate about their literature, apparently. because then they started digging, and it started blowing up because it turned out that Santonia was not only a woman, but she was married to a man. And they didn't like that. They didn't like that at all. And then these stories started coming out about how this Antonio, his audience was so passionate and so loving him, he had liver cancer, and so they were setting up GoFundMe pages, and it turned out Santonio didn't have cancer either. This person's career is over. He's in this time, he slash she, whoever this Santonio person turns out to be, it's all unfolding right now as we're speaking. I mean, I'm like going, oh man, what a stupid way to build your career, people. Be yourself. He's lost his publisher, he's lost his agent, he's lost everything. Or she, I don't know. Nobody knows for certain right now. But don't betray your readers. Be who you are and decide how much of your life you're going to share and how much of your life you're comfortable sharing, and you know, make that line, because when you start building a readership, you know, you have to know where you're comfortable. And so, you know, especially you were talking about your poetry and how you really share, and how comfortable are you with people knowing all that. You touch people's hearts with your honesty, but don't betray them. It's just not worth it. Any questions? Poor Santonio. I don't know.
Wouldn't that almost have to be some dishonest people working for them and publishing that probably knew a little about the charade and just to make money? Because that would be it. That would be a very passionate, easy market to take advantage of.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, I mean, how much, because that...
What's interesting, though, is a lot of his publishers, they do everything electronically, including the signing of the contract.
Oh, so they don't...
So they know. We didn't know. I don't know. So we do things different. We do things by snail mail, and I, like, call my authors, and we chit-chat. Mm-hmm. I try to verify as much as I'm able. I'm going to send around two pieces of paper. One is MP3. If you want a copy of the MP3, you'll get one email. By the way, when you have an email list, you make it very clear. I'm going to be contacting you every 2 weeks so people know. This one, you'll get one email from me. This other one, if you want to know when we're having a get-together for coffee, you'll get more than one email. You'll get an email before we have coffee. But no... coffee email. Here you be. Sign if you want. Otherwise, I hope you keep in touch. I'm real interested. Don't spend money. Tattoo forehead.
I can tattoo that on there if you want me to. I'm a tattoo artist. So if you, Dad, if you really have trouble remembering, you can pay. Send it in. We'll do it. We'll even do it backwards, so it's right when you look in the mirror.
Oh,
like ambulances.
There you
go.
The funny, I did a tattoo. A Hispanic guy, and he wanted his wife's name, and he stood up, and I said, "Check it in the mirror." And he goes, "It's backwards." And I was like, "What?" And so, but I took a deep breath. I did. My first thing was to go, "Right, you're fooling me." So I went. I said, well, you know, I said it's backwards in a mirror, like they write ambulance backwards, so when you look in your rear view, whew. I spent 15 or 20 minutes. I think he thought I was doing some sleight of hand, because I'm like, look at it.
That's yours.
See? Look at it. And he's still...
Thank you, Beth.
He's never looked at a butt in a mirror.
I hope you guys, did you find it useful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Very much.
Oh, get their books. I'm going to distribute their books.
So are you Wilmer?
You're I'm in Candu High.
Okay.
Me too.
No way. Where?
Oh, my gosh. I live on 6th Street. Are we neighbors?
I'm on 3rd Street, but my sister lives on 6th Street.
And my name is Bethany Ann, by the way. I know, this is weird.
Well, you know what?
We're friends now. I walk my dog around.
What's
your
name?
3rd Street, okay. Are you on the north side?
And my murder on 3rd.
Yeah, we're on the north side.
Are you on the north side?
Yep.
Thank you.
Do you know where the little kitty park is?
My sister lives across the street from the kitty park.
I didn't know Candy O'High had signs.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, you can start recording.